It was said that, I think you said it in a newspaper article or somewhere online, that the Cherry Point Terminal threatens your tribe's way of life.
Well, first of all, Cherry Point is an ancestral village site from 3,500 years ago. My family and several other families used to reef net there. Reef netting was a method that was a balance between male and females. It was highly symbolic. It was ritualistic. And the people that ran the reef net, they had a duty not to just to care for their own family, to make sure that every man, woman, and child in the community that had nobody to protect them or care for them was fed. And so they would harvest the salmon for them. At one time, Cherry Point was supposed to be in the northwest corner of the Lummi Reservation. Our ancestor, Chowetsut, he was heartbroken that somehow they were able to pull Cherry Point away from us. And he argued to his dying day that that site was supposed to be returned to the Lummi Nation. But as long as it's a potential deepwater port, there's always going to be somebody buying it and trying to develop it. You know, so Lummi Nation is very concerned because according to the State Historic Preservation Office, it's probably one of the largest burial grounds in the Pacific Northwest. It's a registered site. And the people that have bought it, SSA and PIT, they went through in violation of federal laws, state laws, tribal laws, and just bulldozed right through it. They dewatered it. You know, we're grateful to RE Sources, the environmental friendly organization that did sue them. They forced them to settle. You know, so they settled the case, and there's funds went back into the environmental protection programs. But the thing is that they're taking advantage of the process. You know, and they've done work that where they basically saved not only a lot of time, but saved millions and millions of dollars by just bulldozing and dewatering the land. And so we don't. If they could do it that way, if they'll violate the laws right in the beginning, how do you know? How can you ever have any faith that they'll protect the environment? You know, they're going to take the water out of the Nooksack River, and it's already running low. The farming communities depend on the water flow of the Nooksack River. The cities are drinking water from it, and of course, there's hardly enough water for the returning salmon populations.
You know, I wonder about these kinds of decisions, how they're made, and, you know, how the Lummi tribe, in terms of traditional tribal beliefs, what happens to the people who make these decisions? There's got to be tremendous karmic impact on these people and their families for bulldozing graves, for violating a people and their culture in such a profound way.
You know, back in 79, when the Semiama cemeteries were disturbed, we had a group of elders that was training us to repatriate the remains and how to rebury our ancestors. And I really believed in them, and I was taught by them. And in this go-around where they just went in and over the decades have dug up our people and continued to store them in archives and basements, we're having a difficult time trying to get those bodies repatriated. And we go up and we meet with the Army Corps of Engineers General, and he says, either you sign this memorandum of agreement that's presented by the company, or I'll repatriate the bodies. You know, and I looked at him, I said, you know what, the Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act is our right, not yours. You have no right talking to us like that. You're holding our people's bodies hostage. That's unacceptable conduct. And I got up and walked out. You know, so we see these type of things where pressure is put on the Lummi Nation to give in, have concessions. They're saying, well, you know, they did all these studies and they dug all of these holes and without permits, but they only impact 3.6 cubic meters of your ancestors' culture or artifacts or graves. It doesn't matter. They're just grouping it all together, right? Yeah, they minimumized it. And they're saying, so this company is going to give you $90,000. That's a lot of money. Take it. Take it, they're telling us. You know, we're insulted by that. You know, the Lummi Nation and the people of the Lummi Nation said, no, we're going to protect our ancestors' cemetery. We're going to protect the sacredness of the site. There's a lot of cultural history associated with it, and we're not giving up. You know, it's no now, and it'll always be no. We don't care how much you give us. $1 million, you can make promises. We're not taking it. And, you know, in the Lummi Council, they went up to the Cherry Point in the beginning, and they said no, and they burned a mock check to let people know, we're not selling out our rights. We have treaty rights to fish here. We take crab here and bottom fish, and we fished herring. You know, we closed down the herring fishery for 30 years to protect it. We believe that we have a duty and obligation to protect the environment.
At the cost of about $100 million?
Yes, yes. I mean, we lost a lot of fishing rights by being conservative and making sure that we don't over-harvest, because we don't know how much of the rest of the life in the ocean depends on the herring also.
Right.
You know?
And you know, when I think about the economic pressures that are put in a tribe, I wonder what is being done to ensure that there's harmony and a sense of solidarity in the tribe itself, because many times these corporations get in and try and affect certain people in the council and bribe them and what have you. So how do you maintain a solidarity against these kind of interests?
Well, you know, that's just it. I kind of call it the Thunderheart syndrome, you know, the movie Thunderheart, Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Yeah, and where the corporation comes in and undermines the integrity of the government and the community, and they're doing it on behalf of corporations. Well, that's, you know, that's happening all over the United States, where corporations come in and they wine and dine local officials, Indian and non-Indian. They're promising big jobs, big tax opportunities, or they'll make concessions and make payments to the local tribe or whoever you. And when the Lummi Tribal Council formed the Lummi Sovereignty and Treaty Protection Office, that was one of the assignments that we had, is to take a fresh look at what's being proposed. And we said, first of all, you got to say no. You started off with a maybe because the corporations were here whispering in your ears, telling you just don't make a decision. You got years and years and years down the road to make that choice. And they really convinced a lot of people that, yeah, 15 years before you make a choice. In the meanwhile, they're trying to shove every permit application through that they can. You know, so we worked really diligently to get the tribe to say no. You know, and that's caused a lot of turmoil, because there's a lot of people that really believe that the corporation's right, the corporation provide jobs, you know, and they fall victim to those old age-old promises, a lot of jobs, a lot of taxes, a lot of revenue. But really, it's, you know, they buy the coal for $1 a ton, sell it for $140. You know, and the profit is what the corporation's after. And they're not worried about the contamination from the strip mine all the way to the coast.